the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Boy, is it the day after Thanksgiving. There are certain days every year you know are just going to be different than any other day. And the day after Thanksgiving is one of those days. Commercially, in terms of American retail marketing, it is known as Black Friday. And it is when a lot of companies try to get back in the black. Of course, this year, that's going to be a very interesting experiment for a lot of companies. But nonetheless, it's a day when the big Christmas sales start and when people start getting out. I looked at the newspaper, and it is already trumpeting ads. This kind of discount between 7 o'clock and noon. People are really marketing and advertising in order to get you into their stores. It is a very interesting day. An awful lot of people right now are thinking, I'll never eat turkey again. Now, by the way, about that, about the turkey, that is. How in the world do we have all these turkeys available for us at Thanksgiving? Now, get this. Yesterday, just yesterday, one day, 17% of all the turkeys raised in the United States were consumed. 17%. That's 17 out of every 100 turkeys, they were served yesterday. Now, that leads to a very interesting issue. How do you raise turkeys so that there are enough turkeys so that almost 20% of them can be eaten on one day? Funny that you ask. Slate.com, in its explainer category, has come back in the column to explain that this takes a lot of foresight on the part of America's turkey producers. Now, get this. According to Nina Shin Rostagi of Slate magazine, the turkey producers have to plan ahead. Major commercial turkey brands like Butterball, Hormel, and Cargill produce two kinds of whole bird, frozen and fresh. Turkeys destined for the freezer are produced year-round. Once these birds reach the proper size and weight, they're slaughtered and blast frozen at minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit, at which point they can be stored all year in preparation for the holiday poultry frenzy, end quote. Okay, I got to stop there. 30 degrees minus Fahrenheit? That's cold. No wonder these turkeys are so cold and hard frozen when you see them in the store. That's amazing enough to me. So that about the vast majority of these turkeys that are sold for Thanksgiving are frozen. As a matter of fact, it says here that about 4 out of 5 of the turkeys that will be consumed on Thanksgiving were consumed yesterday. Are frozen rather than fresh. But that means that 20% of the 17% are fresh. That means millions of turkeys were ready fresh yesterday. How does that happen? Well, it takes staging. And I'm not going to go into any kind of turkey reproductive kind of detail here, but evidently they got to plan ahead to make sure they have the eggs and the breeders and all the rest so that at just the right time, in late November of every year, there can be all these fresh turkeys. Yesterday, 46 million turkeys, by estimation, were consumed. And you're probably thinking you did your share. Very interesting this time of the year. You also have things coming out looking to the Christmas season. Boston.com and the Associated Press are reporting that watchdog groups are already talking about the video games that are likely to be popular this Christmas season. Now, recurringly on this program, we've got parents call and say, what about this game? How should we think about these games? What should we think about our kids playing video games? Here's a statistic you should have in your mind. The American Life Project and the Pew Internet Research Project indicate that 97% of all teenagers, boys as well as girls, play video games regularly. Now, I got to love the way that's written. Let me read to it again. This is a sentence from the Associated Press. The Institute cited figures from the Pew Internet and American Life Project showing 97% of all teens, boys as well as girls, play video games regularly. What's wrong with that sentence? I'll tell you what's wrong with that sentence. When you talk about 97% of all teenagers playing games and you say boys as well as girls, that is politically correct speech, because really it should be girls as well as boys, because the same project indicates that almost 100% of boys play video games and a percentage of girls too, but fewer girls than boys. But I just, when I look at an editorial sleight of hand like that, it always catches my attention. But here's the deal. There are ratings for these video games that are themselves often just as politically motivated and just as manipulated as the ratings at the motion picture theater. But get this. According to these reports, you're looking at the majority of these games being sold being M-rated, intended for those age 17 and older. The group that is the oversight group here that is looking at the development of parental knowledge in order to know what's going on here, they are warning about several specific games. Blitz the League 2, according to this, players can target which body part of their football rivals they want to injure. Warriors in, here's the game, Gears of War 2, use a combination rifle and chainsaw. A game that is known as Saints Row 2 features gang violence and allows players to shoot police officers. Other games listed in terms of this parental warning include games Dead Space, Fallout 3, Far Cry 2, Legendary, Left 4 Dead, that's the number 4, Resistance 2, and Silent Hill, The Homecoming. Meanwhile, the Institute actually recommended just a few of some of these games that are offered. In particular, the games recommended, they're T-rated, for ages 13 and older, were Guitar Hero, World Tour, Rock Band 2, Rock Revolution, Spider-Man, Web of Shadows, and Shaun White Snowboarding. Now, I'll tell you the truth. You can find out more about this by going to the National Institute on Media and the Family. That's at www.mediafamily.org. But you can also just trust that an awful lot of these games that are targeted towards young adults, especially to teenagers, and in particular to adolescent males, that they're going to be filled with the kind of stuff that parents should protect their kids from, not the kinds of things they should give their kids as Christmas gifts. You start looking at a lot of these video games, it's just another reminder that you as parents have to be keen cultural analysts, and you're going to have some help in this. That's why you need to go to the Internet. You need to go to sites such as the Institute on Media and the Family. Go to institutes like the Focus on the Family website, where you will find at family.org some similar kind of analysis. If you do not know where to find these things, then ask a parent who does know and find out where you can know more about what's being marketed to your children. And realize that Christmas, like everything else, is a moral test, not just in terms of what is done and how much is spent, but in terms of what we tell our children it's okay to aspire to have and what kind of games we tell them it's okay to play. You know, I'm scandalized when I look at this. There are games that would teach teenagers how to for instance, injure specific parts of opposing players on a football team that would suggest that allowing players to shoot police officers is something that a parent should be satisfied to take place. I don't think so. Meanwhile, there are other things in the news as well. For instance, just when you thought it was safe that all these drug tests were going on with American athletes, now there is a new drug that is turning out to be used by some athletes, and it's Viagra. Of course, Viagra is a drug that leads to increased blood flow, and there are some athletes who believe that perhaps their athletic performance can be enhanced by using just about anything that would give them some physical advantage or physiological advantage over someone else. So there are some that are now trying Viagra in order to increase blood flow that supposedly might help them to run further or run faster. It is interesting, however, to know that like every pharmaceutical, there are side effects to these. Another warning to parents, you just don't know what your little athlete may be tempted to do or tempted to take in order to gain some advantage. You know, these days, parenting has to become such an active issue. It's almost as if you have to be watchful of everything. Now, in times past, that was not so much the case. In times past, you didn't have to worry in previous generations about what kids were playing on video games because they didn't have video games. You didn't have to worry about what was going on the Internet. They didn't have the Internet. You didn't have to worry so much about the pharmaceuticals that they might be taking in order to increase their athletic ability because there was very little that was available. But now we're living in a very different world. Parenting has always been a full-time vocation and calling, but never more so than now. And so this is just a reminder to us as parents, and I speak to myself as well as to all of you, that when you think about the responsibilities of parenthood, Christmas presents some particular challenges. And the marketing that is directed towards our children presents some particular temptations. Video games are in many ways just the tip of the iceberg, although a pretty loud and visible part of that iceberg of the challenge. So folks, as parents, let's do our very best to be informed to understand the cultural temptations to our children and to recognize that at Christmas, we better take care lest we give something dangerous and deadly to our own children. If not dangerous and deadly to them physically, then perhaps to their souls and to their minds in terms of toxic thinking and patterns of thought and life. We're going to come back to talk about raising boys to be men. Not too long ago, I went down to Chamberlain Hunt Academy, Mississippi, and talked to some folks there who were about an interesting experiment in helping boys to become men. On this day after Thanksgiving, let's think about that for a bit. It'll give us something to chew on. We come back. Thanks for listening to the Albert Miller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You know, the whole idea of a military academy is something that used to be very much a commonplace in America. Back in 1879, when Chamberlain Hunt Academy was established in Port Gibson, Mississippi, it was hardly the only one of its kind. But I've had the privilege of being on this campus today and speaking to the cadets and the faculty and the staff here of this outstanding school. Port Gibson, Mississippi is, well, it's a very special place, laden with history, and so is this school. But it's especially unique now in that it is also a boarding school, a Christian military boarding school for boys. Again, founded in 1879. Its president is Colonel Shane Blanton, and we're very pleased to welcome him today to the Albert Miller Program. Colonel?
Thanks for being on campus today. We're just blessed by your presence and enjoyed you in chapel. Thanks.
Well, it was a real privilege, and I can tell you it's unprecedented in my life. I've never been in a place like this before. I don't think I've ever been on the campus of a Christian military boarding school for boys. But, boy, let me tell you just some impressions. Number one, I've never been in a place where all these boys, and you're talking about 7th grade through the 12th grade, immediately looked me in the face and shook my hand, said, hello, sir. I've never talked to a group that's more attentive, I think, in my life. And, you know, I'm just struck by this very unique experiment in education. I say experiment because to a lot of people hearing this today, they're going to think, you know, that this is a very novel idea. Of course, it has a deep rootage, not only in American history, but also in the history of the Christian church. How is it that you came to be the president here?
Just really God's providence in my life. To a lot of the things from being in a boarding school myself to in the military to just having 4 sons of my own and the desire to raise godly young men and the desire to do that with boys that we encounter from across the country and foreign countries as well.
Now, you are the president of a school you know is rather unique, and the number of boys being trained in a school like this nationwide would have to be very, very small. You're dealing with 175 boys and young men here on this campus. What you're about is, just from my observation, very special, and we've had the opportunity to talk about many of the challenges of raising boys in this day. But one of the things that concerns me, Colonel, is that so many of the man-making institutions in this culture simply disappeared. The role of the military in the lives of young men, the role of organizations like Boy Scouts, the authority of the teacher in the classroom, and especially when we're speaking about boys, most importantly, the absence of many fathers, leads to disaster among young males. And I'm sure you see a lot of that. The boys who are here, they're experiencing something very, very different because you bring a certain vision to education that is not likely to be found elsewhere. Can you kind of describe that vision for us?
Absolutely. I think it's rooted in God's word where it says, discipline your child and that there's hope and you're not a willing party to their destruction. God has entrusted these young men to us for a period of time, and to discipline is to love them. And so to be consistent, to hold them to high academic standards, to present the truth to them, to articulate the gospel, help them sort of formulate their worldview, and to really shape them in the light of discipline. You know, a lot of physical activity. We have a wilderness school attached that they spend quite a bit of time outdoors. So a lot of activity, a lot of rigorous academics. And so just really encouraging and helping plant the seeds for them as boys to become young men.
Well, let's talk about how radical this is, because I've been observing these boys. They don't have iPods. They don't have little video games they're carrying around. They don't wear pants that are sagging off their backsides. They're wearing uniforms. I was in the room as I was being shown around a quad where four students, four cadets live. And, you know, all they had was just some clothes lined up, some very neat personal items for hygiene, and a very well-made bed. You keep them busy during the day. Do they miss all those things?
Well, I think in the beginning, the first 30 days are very difficult, as you would imagine, just the process of moving away from those aspects, everything from TV to iPods to all of those things in our culture that seem to influence them on a daily basis. But after the first 30 days, the busyness of the way we, from 5 in the morning till 9 at night, and the rigors of their study keeps him occupied, and he would be amazed to see what it does. A lot of parents say, well, Johnny's sad or those things. He's really not. You get to see that personality come out that he is happy, that he may not articulate it in that way, but that he smiles, that he begins to form friendships, and that you just begin to see him grow, that there's a confidence about him and that a sense of accomplishment in the things that he's come through.
To join the conversation, give us a call at 877-893-8255. There may be many of you out there who have your own concerns about how to raise boys, educate boys in this day, in which, frankly, the challenges are just spectacularly more difficult than even in recent generations. Those man-making institutions are gone. Respect for authority is largely gone. The habits whereby boys learn how to be men, these are gone. That's why you have the phenomenon now of adolescence going well into the 20s and the 30s. We're going to be talking with Colonel Blanton about why that is the case, and perhaps how parents, even without having their boys in a school like this, can think about confronting the challenges of the age and bringing out men from boys, calling them out and raising them. I think, Colonel, one of the biggest things I note, it has to be about the first thing you note in a place like this, is the word structure. This is a very structured institution. These are not kids who are waking up wondering what they're going to be doing during the day.
Absolutely no free time. They might think that they have 30 minutes of free time in the evening, but it's planned out. There is a purpose for every day and for everything that they do, from building camaraderie and esprit de corps to learning collective discipline and my actions have impacts on others, and then shaping who they are as young men, and how do I do that in a group of men that are my peers.
They look really happy.
I would say that they are. They would tell you that it's difficult, and I think sometimes when, you know, some of the breaks that they go on and when they're at home for a period of time, there is a transition when they come back, and the world is very alluring to them and draws them in different ways, that we have a true adversary that desires to have them. And we know the truth, and we need to be very passionate about telling them and presenting the gospel and planting seeds, and that we need boys to become men, and we need that to happen across this country, not only here, which is a very small number, but in Christians' homes across America.
The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, talking about structure and order and discipline, physical exertion, and all the rest, I was trying to think about how to describe what I've seen here today. And from the vantage point of a boy this age, it looks a little bit like Disney World and nothing like Disney World. It kind of looks the way, because there's so much here. I was taken out to the training field where you have this massive facility, and all the climbing, the physical exertion, the rifle training, and all the rest, that just looks like an incredible amount of fun. I can't think of any boy that wouldn't want to do that. On the other hand, there is none of the commercialism. You know, I don't see any kids with logo T-shirts on. I don't see people comparing whether they have the latest this or the latest that. And so in that sense, it's still a very different place.
Absolutely. It is a set apart. I mean, I believe God has it here at Fort Gibson on the banks of the Mississippi River for a reason, that he's protected and kept this military school open as opposed to the 300-plus that have closed in the last 50 years or so.
Yeah, it's a very interesting day. And obviously, as Christian parents are trying to think through educational options and all the rest, most of us are familiar with public school, home school, private school, Christian school, something like this, and even a Christian boarding school, even without the military component, is something off the screens of many people, and it'll sound strange to many people, I think, that should lead to a good conversation. To join us, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
You know, going all the way back to Plato in the Western educational tradition, there's been the understanding that one of civilization's greatest challenges is channeling the energies of young men, young males, boys, into something productive, into civic order, into education, into leadership, into adulthood. This is hardly a new problem. I mean, after all, you've got Solomon writing his own son in the book of Proverbs. You've got all this instruction in the scripture about raising children, and in particular raising sons. But we're living in a day in which authority is being undermined. Parental authority has been surrendered by far too many parents. And the kinds of things that are necessary in order to raise boys are often depreciated in this society. And then it's not just at the level of the home and the church. Out in society at large, the institutions that used to help make men have largely been eclipsed or in retreat or in some cases disappeared altogether. I'm here on the campus of Chamberlain Hunt Academy in Port Gibson, Mississippi. A phenomenal, very, very interesting place. A Christian military boarding school for boys, grades 7 through 12. Its president is Shane Blanton, Colonel Blanton, a former military intelligence officer who now has a job that has to be more challenging than anything he met in the military, and that is running a school for training of boys. He's also the father of four boys of his own. Now, we're welcoming your calls. We want other people to join the conversation. We want to invite you to call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We got callers coming in from around the world. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. First, I want to ask Colonel Blanton, as he thinks about this, what do you think is the greatest challenge these days in raising boys?
I just really, they're the men. Where are the men? That we, as Christian, as believers, are we doing what we should be? Are we praying? Are we in God's Word? Are we setting an example in front of our own sons, in front of the sons of other men? Are we leading by example? And, you know, General Patton said that there's only one type of discipline, and that's perfect discipline. And we know that to be true because God says He disciplines those He loves. And if we consider ourselves sons of God, are we setting that example for young men to follow? And I would say that it's lacking.
Yeah, and I would say that sociologically speaking, the greatest impediment we have thinking about boys in the future right now is the absence of fathers in far too many homes, with upwards of more than 50% of some boys in some communities having no father involved in their lives whatsoever. Let's go to Travis calling from Greencastle, Indiana, listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Travis.
Yes, Dr. Mohler, thank you for taking my call. I love the program. Looking forward to seeing you in April at Together for the Gospel.
Wonderful.
As a father of three boys myself, I'm wondering if a military boarding school is more geared towards young men who don't have fathers, or would I be abdicating my God-given right to raise my children, abdicating that right to someone else by sending them to a boarding school?
I want to answer that question myself, but I got to turn to Colonel Blanton first and ask him to take the first shot.
Travis, I, as four sons of my own, and Dr. Mohler and I had this conversation earlier about my role as a father and then my role as the head of the school, definitely the blessings that your sons are going to receive are going to come through you. And so I would say that is your responsibility. We fit a unique niche to help boys become men. And, you know, what type of boys come to our school? And I would say they are from, some are from Christian homes, some are from divorced homes or different things, but it's boys that need the structure so that they can help and equip them to fulfill the call in which God has before them.
You know, Travis, I just want to amplify what Colonel Blanton said by saying that insofar as you're functioning as a faithful father in their lives, and I can tell from the tone of your voice, the excitement about being a dad, your excitement in having these three boys, and your concern, even reflected in your question, you're going to be investing in them in these years so that they should not have the same need perhaps a big change in their life towards structure. But that's not the experience of many boys. There are just a lot of boys out there who have not had a father, who have not had the blessings of having this kind of structure. And frankly, I think there are some boys out there who probably find themselves, whose parents find them, in a situation in which they clearly have some special challenges and they need the structure. And this isn't just like being at home. I can tell you from observing this, I don't think there's any home quite like this. I've never seen a place where boys are supervised so closely. They're structured well, let's put it this way. As the colonel said, they may think they have 30 minutes of free time, but that's redefined. There are no iPods, no video games they're going to go play back in their room. They've got serious stuff to do. And I think that's one of the remarkable things about this school is that these boys have to grow up. They have to grow up very fast, and it's fascinating just in a day's time to kind of observe how that works. Travis, God bless you as a dad. Be a model not only for your own sons, but for the sons of others around you, some of whom do not have fathers, and you can have a massive impact on them as well. We'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. My guest today is Colonel Shane Blanton, who is the president of Chamberlain Hunt Academy here, a Christian military boarding school for boys in Port Gibson, Mississippi. We've been having a very fascinating conversation. We still invite you to join us by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, Colonel, when I think about this, I just want to affirm that in a perfect world, every single family would be rightly ordered to reflect the glory of God, and every single child would receive the right kind of education, nurture, discipline, and care from parents as God's word would command. But we live in a Genesis 3 world in which there are far too many parents who simply do not fulfill that responsibility. And there are also children who find themselves in special needs. And that really explains the existence of this school, does it not?
Absolutely. Just in listening to Travis while ago and some of those things, and we see anything from a homeschool young man who may be in the age of 13 or 14 all the way through to 16 and 17. But it's really, we wonder why it's in Port Gibson. It's here because it's away from everything. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're along the Natchez Trace, the banks of the Mississippi, but a way to get away from the culture that inundates us and that we struggle with. And so sometimes it provides an oasis for Christian families to help young men maybe for a period of time. Our average stay is about a year and a half to 2 years. So really to focus in on them cultivating and growing into be young men.
Very good. We want to go to David calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on XM 170. Go ahead, David.
Yes, Dr. Moeller, I would say that raising a boy requires attention, and intention simply doesn't cut it. And it starts with praying at home, and I pray with my son. We pray on our knees every day together. We read Scripture together and talk about Scripture. We limit digital media, and we encourage reading of all types and imaginative play. And we also get very involved with my son's teacher and make sure that his behavior at school is up to par. And I keep a poster in my shop with all the points that I need to remember and focus upon as I raise my son. So I have bullet points on a poster as a reminder.
Well, David, that sounds like a great system, and I really admire the model of fatherhood you just kind of articulated for us. I want to ask you, how old's your son?
My son's 8.
All right. Well, you've started young, which is the way that even the Scripture tells us, as the twig is bent, the tree will grow. So I really do appreciate that. Colonel Blanton, what would your encouragement be to dads, not just the dads of your students, but to dads, Christian dads, about raising boys in this light?
To be consistent and to be involved. I think we need men to be involved in the lives of boys. We had that discussion earlier today, but as the caller has articulated, that he's involved in the life of his son. And that is key, that we need men to be involved. Not that mothers are not important. They're an essential part of that family makeup. But boys need men to become men.
Now, one of the things that they also need, quite obviously, as demonstrated in this school and elsewhere, and when I say demonstrated here, I mean in a successful way, is structure. The New York Times had a very interesting article just in recent days on the fact that so many young boys have such horrible organizational skills. It doesn't seem to come natural to those with the XY chromosome. The military helps young men to organize their lives. Different experiences in times past used to do that. Boy Scouts and everything else. But it seems that that's lacking in a lot of homes and in a lot of schools today. Tell us why structure is important for a boy.
I think it begins at very basic things, just taking care of those small elements that help us grow and to function in our lives daily. But structure is that key facet. We are men under authority, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we need that, and it needs to be reflective in everything we do, from, you know, our boys, how they fold their socks, to how their undergarments are folded, to the beds that they make, to how they go into the chow hall. That everything they do, we practice, we articulate why and how we want to do that to maintain the order in their lives, and also how it impacts others. That order and structure in your life has a dramatic impact on those around you.
Now, I think one of the things that I observe here that you're not likely to find in most other settings where you find boys is the opportunity the boys have to develop their own leadership. I mean, you really, looking at the core of cadets, looking at the companies made up of the boys that live together, they really have a lot of self-leadership demonstrated here.
They do. They're organized into a battalion, which is four companies, but they're student leadership. Now, there are men that live in each of the dorms with them, but it helps them to become men, that they learn how to be leadership, that they've seen others. We talk a lot about good leadership and about poor leadership, that things that they would like to do and things that they see others do that maybe is not effective, and how it impacts those around them. And also using lessons learned from what others have done and maybe not done successfully, but so that they really have that time to become leaders. And I think that period of adolescence that you talked about, we're taking 12 to 17-year-olds and placing them in probably the largest leadership position and probably greater leadership positions than a lot of 29-year-old young men around
the country. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The four words that are used here, the most important that I see in the description of the school, Christian Military Boarding School. Well, let's talk about the Christian part of that for a moment. How would a Christian military boarding school for boys be different than a secular school that might also have a lot of young males in uniform?
Well, I think it's the aspect of truth, and it should permeate every aspect of what you do, and that the truth must be there, and we know that to be God's word, and it must be evident. So first we must articulate the gospel, and then we must help them using a lot of Proverbs, as Solomon articulated to his son, you know, what it takes to be a man. And then letting that play out in the classroom. Our classrooms only run about 10 cadets in each class, so they have the chance to interact with their teachers, help them to shape and cultivate their worldview so that when they get out of here, you know, they have to do an exit exam when they leave. And so the seniors must be able to articulate every class that they've had and what we believe and why. And then they must be able to recite the catechism and scripture memory that we've worked on, but it's really to help shape them and to do in becoming the men that they need to become.
You know, it was really moving to have the opportunity to preach in chapel this morning, and I preached on a boy becoming a man, looking at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, where he talks about becoming a man, putting aside childish things. You know, I'm reassured to know that the Apostle Paul was once a boy, and he had to grow up. And even of Jesus Christ, we are told he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Men aren't born as men. They're born as boys. The big question is, what's going to take that boy into manhood? And who's going to push him there, lead him there, take him there, pull him there, and help him to know what that looks like? We'll be back with final thoughts in just a moment. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. You know, the challenge of raising boys to be men has never probably been easy. As a matter of fact, you can look back to Plato in terms of his dialogues well before the birth of Christ, and you'll discover that every society has had the challenge of raising boys to be men, to take on male responsibility, to be husbands and fathers, leaders in society, and all the rest. However, as much as it is a perpetual and perennial human challenge, it's certainly more complicated in our times. I mean, no doubt. You just start to look at, for instance, the perpetual adolescence many young males find themselves in or put themselves in. You start looking at the social pathologies. You start looking at the kind of reports coming from educators. I mean, what does it say that we now have far more women
than young men enrolling as freshmen in American colleges and universities. We're looking at a feminization of leadership in many, many places. And it's not just that women are showing up where they've never been before. It's that a lot of young men are retiring from the entire equation. They're just not growing up. They're not taking this responsibility. You know, from a Christian perspective, it's a lot bigger as a challenge than even the secular world might imagine. And it's because we believe that it's not only that there's a lot of male contribution that is lost here, that it's not only a matter of economic and social impact, it's a matter of spiritual responsibility and a spiritual problem as well. An awful lot of these young men are just not finding God's glory in their lives. They're just not living out the responsibilities that God made them for. And I'm speaking here particularly of Christian young men. There are an awful lot of Christian churches that are simply allowing young men to stay in boyhood rather than to encourage them on to manhood. And as much as this program today was about the general problem of raising boys to be men, and as much as we as parents have better understand our responsibility in that light, it really is a responsibility for churches as well. You know, we are the people who know that the definition of a man is not really physiological. That's a part of it. It's not really anatomical, and it's not really physical. That's a part of it. It's really about what a man does, and it's the fulfillment of responsibility. And an awful lot of young males right now have bodies that suggest they are men. They're of adult size. They're ready for adult responsibilities. They simply haven't moved into those roles and responsibilities. One of our chief challenges in this generation is to get people from where they are to where they ought to be. That's not new, but the challenges and complications of this particular era are new. The big issue for the Christian church is whether we're going to ignore this or whether we're going to take this on as a responsibility. I can tell you right now, there are an awful lot of young men who are looking for the right message. They're looking for someone to teach them. They're looking for models. They're looking for some impetus and some motivation. And it ought to come from the church. It ought to come from Christian parents. It ought to be coming from all those who are concerned with the future of civilization. You know, an interesting report came out just this week indicating that the prime time for a young man to be a father, physiologically, is between 18 and 29. We knew that women had an aging of the reproductive system. Only recently has it been discovered that men have too. It's really a shame that so many are waiting until the end of that period, even to grow up and think about getting married. Back next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Miller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.